The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell. Coming in hot.
I'm also Krusty the Clown. not really. I'm just Bell. Sorry.
No, he's Bell, ladies and gentlemen. And Bell is in rare form.
It's been a long day.
It's been a day for you, buddy. But you're here, and I'm glad that you're here because we got a show for the people. Not only do we have a show for the people, we got a twofer. Like, this is the second that we have recorded in not one but nay 2 days.
In 24 hours almost.
Yeah, that's like a new record for us. It's probably not.
No. Remember that time we recorded for 48 hours straight and we never aired any of it because, you know,
it was too perfect.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
we didn't want to just dominate the space of podcasting for the rest of eternity. And so we just had to get rid of it.
This is true. I mean, at some point you realize that, like, oh, this is so good that literally there's no reason for anybody to ever do another podcast ever. And then it's like, okay, well, we can't do that to the medium, to the industry. There's so many different other podcasts out there. What would they think? What would they say? And so you gotta sacrifice for the people. You gotta sacrifice for the industry. And yeah, that's what we were all about back then.
It's like the pharmaceutical companies, you know, when they don't create cures. I mean, they have the cures, but they keep them hidden for their executives. And like, you know, there's a pharmaceutical company out there that's discovered the key to immortality, and they're keeping it because why would they release that when, like, they can, you know, continue to make money? Because once everybody's immortal and they can't die to diseases and stuff, you know, I mean, like, where's the fun? in making pharmaceuticals.
I don't know that it's exactly like that, but it's close enough.
Look,
I've
read it on the deep web that they're keeping all of these technologies from us. You understand? Like,
right? Yes,
yeah,
of course.
It's I read it on the internet, and it has to be true. So saith Abraham Lincoln. I saw that on the internet as well. Abraham Lincoln said that, so it has to be true because he's honest.
Send help to Austin. Somebody send help to Austin. Bell's been radicalized. Help, help. Oh, man. Hey, look, I am so glad to hear your voice, man. Even though it has been 24 hours, it's good to be able to connect with you and talk about this show that, man, has had a bit of a rough season. But last week we had an exceptionally good episode. And this week, we're going to talk about it. So, I will say this. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to tip the bean can, but, you know, as great and as amazing as last week was, I think that it's good to remember that, you know, TV is TV, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad, and sometimes they're meh. And in a season that's mostly bad, maybe meh ain't that bad.
And sometimes you got to just pull out the hidden past that no one ever, the character never told anybody about because you're out of ideas.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to get into it. Look, we've got an episode. Let's do this, man. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 13 of season 7, Masquerade, Paper Faces on Parade.
I was about to say the same thing, like this whole episode, just had Phantom just blaring in my head.
Directed by Rachel Talalay and story by
Sam Chalson and Christina M. Walker.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Got a really another long summary here. Well, Cecile is forced to confront her past in order to break free from a psychic prison. Chester takes over for Sisko, but makes a mistake that puts Barry in serious danger.
Dun, dun. Sorry, it was a little bit longer.
Yeah. Joe investigates Kristen Kramer's old military ties.
Dun, dun, dun.
I just had to make a joke again because it was like,
It's the same deal, man. We're doing two in a week. We got stuff to do. We got things to talk about. We need to get into it. People saw the episode. They don't need us to recap it for them. They know what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, maybe people like to listen to my dulcet tones as I reiterate what they already know.
That ain't it. All right. Okay. So first of all, you know, it's so interesting because one of the main topics of conversation, when critique comes up, is we talk about the cast. We talk about the fact that there is so many members of the cast. There's so many characters to keep up with. They're all fighting for screen time. Some of the new cast members and kind of newer cast members are fan favorites, and some of them not as much, and some of them maybe could be if given the opportunity to really kind of be a full character. So I just want to kind of address that because we are dealing primarily with a character that honestly has become one of my favorite characters, and that's Cecile. Like, she is one of the newer, I mean, I guess she's been around for enough time that she's not newer, but she's not one of the original cast. But somebody who has, like, this gift of chemistry. You put her with anybody and she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's a great actress, and she really does the part well. And like you said, she just can have chemistry with anybody, and it just really makes you adore her, you know?
Yeah, no, you're pulling for her, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes there's those characters that kind of come in, and you don't really know how you feel about them, but then, like, your main character loves them, and so you're like, oh, you know what? Okay, well, I can see what this person means to this person. Kind of like Kite Man on the Harley Quinn show, you know?
I haven't seen the Harley Quinn show.
You haven't seen the Harley Quinn show. Okay, well, it's basically the Bros. We've talked about this before.
But yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Anyway, no, but there's the character of Kite Man. He comes in, he's like kind of this, hey, it's Kite Man. Yeah! You know, like this over-the-top dude. And you're like, why on earth is Poison Ivy like spending time with this guy? But then you kind of see him through her eyes and you're like, all right, you know what? Kite Man, you're all right. Okay. That was never Cecile. Cecile, like, we didn't need Joe to love Cecile for us to love Cecile. We love Cecile. And we love Joe.
Yeah.
And we love them together, even though we don't see them together all that often.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. She doesn't need the help, I guess.
That's exactly right. And on top of that, I have always been of the mindset that she doesn't need to be a meta. Like, I thought that the fact that they kind of incorporated, you know, kind of the meta, her kind of gaining this meta ability through her pregnancy and kind of this... It was a little convoluted and a little strange, and the power set is such that it makes it difficult to write around, except for the fact that she has never had like full control over it. It's been much more of kind of this passive ability. It's you know, I guess from a, you know, if you're a writer on the show, if you're a story from a storytelling standpoint, it's great because it could work whenever you need it to and not whenever you don't. but it's, you know, in this season in particular, especially dealing with the Sage Force, we got a chance to see Cecile's powers really kind of like explode and kind of see the weight that she has on her should she choose to really lean into being a meta and having these abilities. I'm all for more Cecile exploration, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I really, really love the character a lot, and I love the actress. I think she does a great job. That being said, it is such a trope. It is such a trope on television shows, especially that are a little long in the tooth, where they take a character and all of a sudden you find out they were crazy at one point. It's like, wait, what? Like, oh no, she was in an insane asylum and it was a mental health institution. It wasn't like a full on, you know. And like, I think what we were experiencing was not to be like a clear indication of what she actually went through. And it's more the way that she saw herself for having to, you know, rely so heavily on kind of an institution to kind of work through some of the mental health issues she was going through. But regardless, I don't know, it to me, and you're not going to get this, but like there was a Smallville episode with Chloe Sullivan where they introduced the concept that Chloe is crazy. Now, turns out Allison Mack, well, you know what? That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to go there yet, but
it was like, you know, her mom was crazy and Chloe is also crazy. And it's like, really? Really? Like, what? Like, I don't know. It's like, we're 7 years in and this has never been addressed, but okay. I don't know. I thought that was a little forced. That being said, I was totally right on the Psycho Pirate thing. Thank you for not spoiling that for me last week.
Yeah, yeah, I did my best to not, and I hope I didn't.
No, not at all. Actually, I was like, oh my gosh, Cecile's the new Psycho Pirate. And you're like, and I was like, oh shoot, she's not the Psycho Pirate. And I was really bummed. And then when I saw that she actually did become the new Psycho Pirate, I was actually super into it. And this is my other thing. And I know I'm kind of ranting here at the top of the episode, and I apologize for that. But I love the idea of Cecile becoming the new Psycho Pirate. Can we have more time with that, please? Like that's
no, we can't.
Apparently not. That's a great concept. Like I was here for it, man.
Well, see, that's why I was kind of like, you know, they did the little stinger at the end of the last episode where she's like, I'm going to find who you are and all that kind of stuff. And I was sitting there, okay, yeah, they're setting this up. Okay, this is going to be interesting. We're going to have Cecile be like a big bad, maybe for like a mini arc or something like that, be the next Psycho Pirate. And so that's kind of my expectation going into this episode. And then that's not at all what happened. They just, you know, defeated the mask. It was a Freak of the Week thing. Like, but that it was just such a big thing for them to Freak of the Week, which I was kind of surprised by, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it was such potential. I don't want to be negative, but I wanted more. I guess that's not a negative thing to say that you wanted more. Like I felt like there could have been more. There should have been more. Psycho Pirate, because of the Elseworlds implications, I feel like should have been brought back with some more gravity. And I had no problem with the concept of Psycho Pirate being tied to Cecile. I loved the idea that what if we had Cecile as kind of a big bad, maybe even for a half season.
Yeah, because you know it brings about the thing where it's like, you know, it's her body, right? So they can't, you know, beat her up.
Right, exactly. We're not fighting her. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to come up with more interesting ways to like defeat the enemy, which when first off you're dealing with an enemy that can mind control and do all these kinds of things like that, it's going to be difficult for a speedster to face in the first place. On TV it'll be difficult. In reality, any speedster would be able to solve any problem near instantaneously.
Right.
And but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so it was a real, I mean, not necessarily a shock, but it was surprising to see that they didn't roll that out a little further. And who knows, maybe they will. I don't know, but probably not.
It just seemed like it was tied up too quickly. They will, and that would be great if they did. But like I feel like the weight of the episode was really kind of put on, you know, kind of her backstory and kind of introducing this kind of late in the game backstory for Cecile, which was fine. And I mean, don't get me wrong, and it was a powerful backstory. And I thought that, I have no problem with this being part of her backstory. I just think it's odd because it seems very out of left field. And, you know, I get the sense that we probably would have known about this before at some point if that was always kind of an aspect of the character. I do think, I mean, like there is, you know, there is kind of that PSA type of feel that kind of came at the end of the episode where they were kind of unpacking the stigma for, mental health institutions and therapy, especially in kind of, you know, historically African-American communities. And, you know, it reminded me in Living Single, there was an episode where Khadija goes to, therapy. And she's as classic sitcom stuff. She was wearing like a big trench coat and like Dick Tracy esque hat, like, you know, with the collar up and everything, and like the big shades because she just didn't want anybody to know that she was going to see a therapist. And at that end, the end of that episode had a very similar kind of PSA type of feel to it that we got to hear. But so, I mean, it's a good message. And I think that, you know, and I feel like the story felt very real. The only thing that made it kind of come across as forced is the fact that, again, we're kind of late into the game, and the whole, oh, this character is crazy, just ends up being kind of a trope at some point. And I get it. Look, and I'm not trying to offend anybody here. I get that the whole important point of the message is that, like, you're not crazy because, like, just because you need, you need mental health support and, you know, or, you know, go to an institution.
More people should go to therapy, honestly.
It's true. Like, that's the thing. So I'm not trying to make light of that. But I mean, the way in which it was obviously portrayed, we get like, literal crazy eyes Cecile and, you know, the Psycho Pirate interpretation of her and kind of, you know, that's the way it's kind of marketed to us. And again, it is the way in which she's perceiving herself that is the horrific thing. I get it. But it's still a TV trope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, it's tired because, you know, like you said, it's there shouldn't be the stigma that mental health has in the first place. And you know, more people should go and it just, you know, even if you feel fine, even if everything seems normal and you're happy, like it's still not a bad idea to talk to a therapist. You know, therapy is not bad and there shouldn't have the stigma on it. And it does, unfortunately, but you know, I don't know if this episode was the best way to like convey that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a good message. We've done the therapy thing before. I mean, you know, hey, Barry and Iris, they've gone to therapy, couples counseling, that sort of thing. And you know, yeah. It seems like these days they're getting along quite well. You know what I mean? They're getting along pretty well.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, Chester doing a little doing a little inventory.
If the walls of the storage room could talk,
they'd say, "Wow, Barry sure is fast."
Hey,
okay, sorry, awful. Yeah, man, Barry and Iris, man, they are trying. They are working to start their family and. Definitely, you know, taking advantage of the full space that they've got available to them there at the basement of Star Labs. You know, it's a nice reminder that right around the corner is, I think, the storyline that we're really all very, very much looking forward to, which is the kids, right? Like we're looking forward to the kids showing up and that sort of thing. And I think that it does make me curious, like, how do you think it's going to happen? Do you think it's literally like the test is going to show up as positive and then the kid's going to show like Bart's going to show up? Or is it like, you know, Iris is like, you know, steps into the laboratory to see, you know, to take the test. And then while they're waiting for an answer, like Barry's outside the door waiting for an answer, Bart shows up and says, "Hey, Dad." And then she comes out saying, "We're pregnant." And he's like, "I know."
You know? Well, the kids don't have to wait for that. They're from the future. They can come by at any
time. No, they're waiting for comedic timing, my friend. I guarantee it. Well,
yeah, because you'd be like, well, so I presume you already know. It's like, and Barry's like, "No, what?" And then Iris comes out of the bathroom. She's like, who's that? Hi, Mom. You know, and then Barry's like, "What?" And then everybody, yeah. And then everybody laughs and we go to commercial.
Kids laugh. Oh man. Anyway, yeah. So I think I think we're all very excited for that. You know, one of the things I loved about this episode is that we got a chance to see Chester really coming into his own. He's not just a new Cisco, but he is wrestling with that imposter syndrome in the midst of all this. Now, it's juxtaposed by the fact that he showed up like, you know, not 2 seconds later is Cisco gone that he like redecorates and is literally painting the walls.
Yeah. Yeah. And installing speakers and stuff.
Yeah. No, but I like that. I like the fact that there's kind of going to be a feel to the way that Chester kind of runs the lab versus the way that Cisco runs the lab. I love like, you know, his organizational style, despite the fact that he's organizing everything. You know, it's a little sloppy. Like he's got like, you know, things all over his desk and statues and you know, collectibles and, you know, zany items everywhere. Whereas Cisco was kind of all about the shirts. It seems like Chester's going to be all about the clutter.
Yeah. He's going to have like, I bet here we go. Plot point in the future. One of Chester's like Funko Pops is going to become animated and try and kill them.
Definitely could happen. I you know, we also got a chance to see a return of a lot of technology that we've seen before. I always love that this show has done such a great job at not just kind of introducing something and then leaving it forever, but we actually do get a return of like, you know, the device that was used on Music Master, and we got a chance, you know, to see the cold gun again. We got obviously the Thinker's Chair continues to be a pretty significant item as it relates to Cecile and her mental abilities. And so, yeah, actually, the samurai sword, what robot samurai guy? What's his name again?
Of the samuroid.
Samuroid, yes, the samuroid sword. Like, Chester comes out with the samuroid sword. I thought he was about to kill Cecile there for a minute. Like, that was a full-on, like, you know, lethal move he was pulling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you gotta swing your samuroid sword.
Oh man. All right. Well, yeah, so there you go. we of course got the in this episode the return of Sue Dibney. Or well, I guess not Sue Dibney at this stage in the game, but we got the return of Sue. Sue, man, a universally beloved character that everybody has really enjoyed kind of the unique take on her. Not controversial in the slightest, and everybody's super excited that she is back on the show. I'm assuming.
Sulina Kyle, you mean?
I'm assuming. I actually haven't been on Twitter for a while. I actually got off of Twitter for a minute, so I'm just assuming everybody's cool with this.
Or is she now Kath Surin Zeta Jones from the movie where she breaks into banks?
That's pretty good. I like that. I mean, I feel like Sulina Kyle is, you know, that's who she is. She's Sulina Kyle.
Well, this episode, she was Kath Surin Zeta Jones because of all the lasers.
She did the thing from Ocean's 12.
Oh, is that from Ocean? Well, okay. So in gosh, what is
it? It's from every movie. Hang on now. It's literally from every single movie. There's like a heist movie. You got to have the laser grid.
Yes.
And you got to have the dance
sequence.
The whole
Catherine Zeta-Jones in the skin tight suit going under the lasers. That was like, you know, a thing.
I mean, it's always a thing, but you're saying that this is like, what was the movie? Catherine Zeta, what circa?
It was Catherine Zeta-Jones and hold on. Catherine. It was like in the 90s.
Zeta. Jones. Okay. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Lasers. Catherine Zeta-Jones. Entrapment. That's the movie.
All right. Entrapment. Entrapment. Entrapment.
And it's her and Sean Connery, I believe.
Sean Connery.
And like, she's got to go through the lasers and stuff. And she does this like, you know, routine thing. And her butt is featured in it. This, I mean, come on. This is like,
all right, entrapment, laser scene.
Look, if you just Google Catherine Zeta-Jones lasers, the first result on my phone here is the video of her doing that. It's that laser scene. That's like the most famous thing from that movie. No one else remembers anything else about it except for the scene where Catherine Zeta-Jones goes through the lasers.
Okay, so this came out in 99. Yeah, okay, so this is then a reference to... Or no, in that case, that means Ocean's 12 was a reference to this scene.
Absolutely. Every movie ever with a laser and a woman is a reference to Entrapment.
But the Night Fox wasn't a woman, he was a dude. But he was wearing a skin-tight suit, and he did a little dance. He went, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, did-a-dun-dun-dun, did-a-dun-dun-dun. Sometimes I listen to that music even when I'm working out, because it gets me in that, like, you know, doing the crazy stuff mode. But no, that,
well, yes, they gender bent it. All right. But it's the same thing. It's all entrapment.
Interesting.
It's entrapment all the way down.
All right. If that's correct, look at that. They've even got the lasers on the like the album cover or not album cover, but like on the poster for the movie.
Yeah.
It's lasers going across.
Like that scene was in the trailer, and it's like, oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones's butt. Yeah. You know, and yeah.
And lasers.
It was the 90s, man.
Yeah. That's all it took in the 90s. Anyway. All right. Well, there you go.
Some Hollywood executive was all coked up and was like, I got an idea, man. Catherine Zeta-Jones and lasers. And they're like, fund it. And
that's probably right.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. So that, you know, this is always fascinating to see like where references come from, because like, again, I saw that and I immediately thought of Ocean's 12.
And I, you know, Ocean's 12 is probably closer just because it was a dance as opposed to like just a, and I haven't seen Entrapment in so long. I don't remember if hers was set to music or like had like dance steps in it, but it was mainly her just like sexily moving under the stuff. But yeah. And in Ocean's, whatever, 12. 11 or 12. 12, yeah, yeah, his was more of like an actual physical kind of dance, kind of like Sue's was.
Well, you know? So it was more of like he was listening to the music and he was kind of moving. He was dodging the lasers, but the lasers somehow were like wirelessly timed to the music in his headphones. It was amazing. You know, that's some Bluetooth technology that was pretty advanced.
I'm just saying that it all came from Entrapment.
Okay. I believe you. Yeah,
fight me.
I don't want to. You're in rare form, sir. I'm not trying to fight you tonight. All right. Cool. All right. So there you go. Sue back on scene. She's going to stick around for a little while.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I mean, I I don't know. Cause it's like, I was surprised that they weren't going to go a Psycho Pirate plot line.
Right.
And then I was like, they just got rid of a couple characters and now they're just bringing Sue back for an arc.
Right.
I wasn't expecting that either. I was kind of thinking maybe we get some, you know, reduction and like focusing on the characters that we have, and now we're going to build up Sue for an inevitable Ralph Dibny return, but not Ralph Dibny because his face got melted and he can never take that shape again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was one of those things where it's like, all right, Cisco's gone, Camilla's gone, but everybody's best friend Camilla's gone, and this, I mean, like every, you know, it's sad we miss him, but you know, in the back area, in the back room, like Allegra's like rubbing her hands together, like, all right, this is it. This is my moment. Like now I finally am going to get this character development. And she like is about to walk through the door, and then boom, it gets slammed open in her face. And in comes Sue. Hey,
she's like, oh, come on.
Allegra, by the way, not in this episode, but Caitlin also in this episode. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Any other kind of major thoughts or things for this one? We had to kind of cram two episodes this week, so the commentary might not be the best.
I don't know. I have like, well, you know, we cut out about 3.5 hours of me talking about Entrapment.
No, we're leaving that in.
No, I'm making a joke saying that there were 3.5 additional hours.
Oh, that's
hours
a good point.
This,
yeah, it is kind of late in the night. Okay, yeah. Maybe cut 2 hours out of it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just.
Just the best bits.
Yeah.
That's the best. Yeah. Mike, leave the whole thing in. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. One other thing that I wanted to make mention of, aside from the fact that shout out to H-Town, where Cecile got help. That was pretty cool. A little Houston, Texas reference there. We got a reminder that I think we probably need from time to time that, you know, Cecile and Joe have a baby named Jenna.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Jenna?
Oh, I remember Jenna.
Yeah. She's hanging out with Cecile's.
Remember Jenna? Like, yeah. Well, I mean, like, because here's the thing, right? Because Joe's a stay-at-home dad now. Like, what does he do? And, like, he still doesn't take care of the kid.
Yeah, like, we never see Jenna's the quietest baby that you've ever. And actually, is she having a baby at this point? Isn't she, like, 3 or 4?
I mean, yeah.
Hang on now. How old is Jenna? And speaking of time, amount of time passing, they said the thing, the Speed Force storm was 2 weeks ago. Is that right? Does that track? Maybe that does track.
2 weeks ago, from a story standpoint, because there was a little hiatus in there, right?
Yes.
Because it doesn't feel like 2 weeks ago. Granted, my entire perception of time has been absolutely destroyed by this pandemic. So, I mean, you know, I think time is no longer relative.
Yeah, no, this sounds right. All right, now let's think about this. Jenna West. Born 2018, in May 2018. So we're talking, she's 3 years old now.
She's 3 years old, yeah. She's a toddler. She's toddling about.
But apparently she's not. She's like toddling about her room. And
maybe they put her in the pipeline. I don't know.
She's being super quiet. She's like, chill, like, hey, y'all got something going on? That's cool. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to toddle a little bit off screen in the house. But nobody's going to hear me. Jenna's going to have issues. You want to talk about needing some mental health support? She's going to have some issues growing up.
Maybe they have her like locked in the basement or something. Maybe they're doing like some weird kind of experiment where it's like, if we don't give our child any social interaction, what will happen? Because Joe, for some reason, is like, you know what? I'm tired of being a good dad.
I know. He was like super dad. And then it's like Jenna comes along like, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, Jenna, hey.
He's like, not this again. I'm done. Man. Let's get a nanny.
Yeah. No, I think
we'll ship her off to military school.
Well, no, Jenna, like we're also Jenna with the Cecile's daughter and Jenna and the turtle are all chilling and it's cool. You know, these are all characters, by the way, that they could have very easily gotten away. Like in a post-crisis world, like we could have, you know, no offense. I don't want to, you know, hey, it's, you know, just a baby, but still like in a post-crisis world, you get to kind of trim some characters off if you want to. You can kind of, you know, clip some branches, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems like if you're not even going to reference a lot of these characters again, you don't have to do the whole, you know, cousin Jeffrey or whatever it was from Family.
The Brady Bunch?
Yeah, I can't remember. Whatever it was.
Yeah. Like kid who goes upstairs and just never comes back down.
Right. And when they're like another additional kid on Family Matters too?
I don't know, but every time I think about Family Matters, I think about the Key and Peele sketch, and it's just the greatest thing that's ever happened.
No, I haven't seen that either.
He's sitting there like, listing off all the kids, and he's like, Jesse and the other kid.
That's the thing. They had another kid. It wasn't just the son and daughter. I think it was. Think they had a younger son.
It was Reggie. Like Reggie and the other kid. Steve turned me into a sandwich, and then it ate me.
That's terrible.
This is supposed to be a show about a family.
Family Matters, and they literally write off a kid. Oh man, yeah, no, that's what's happening though. Jenna's just hanging out. But anyway, I just remember like when they mentioned like thanks for watching Jenna, I was like Jenna, who's the baby?
Oh yeah, the baby.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, she's there. Okay.
I wonder if sometimes they forget. Like they get a call. It's like, are you going to come pick up your kid? Oh, yeah. We'll be right. Sorry. We just, running late. We'll be right there. And it's like, it's been 3 weeks.
Right. All right. So I think for this episode, those are all my main points. Those are all the main things I wanted to kind of touch on. Do you have any other thoughts before we jump into the thing that we do?
I do not.
All right, well, let's do it, man. Let's jump into
Speedster Speculation.
All right, so Speedster Speculation this week is going to kind of follow a bit of a theme this season, which is who's the bad guy? What's going on here? Actually, season 7.
Yeah.
What's going on here? That's
like, I mean, I was going to say, we can speculate on the Cecile Psycho Pirate storyline that they're going to do, but they're not doing that. We're getting to like a freak of the week thing with zero overarching story, which is
different,
very different. Again, for the longest time, we've been asking for like small story arcs. So we got one at the beginning of the series and I was like, heck yeah, here we go. And then I thought we were jumping into one with Psycho Pirate Cecile and we're not. But we know that the kids are coming, the twins are coming here at some point.
At some point, yeah.
And so we know that's overarching. We know that they're, spoilers if you haven't been keeping up with the set photos and things
No, I mean, like, there's been promotional announcements. I think it's safe to say that we can talk about the kids.
Well, but other than the kids, rhymes with Smodsmead.
Smodsmead. Oh, right. Well, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. There have been set photos and stuff. So I'm sorry if that was a.
Well, the set photos about Godspeed did not a Godspeed mega villain make. We've seen Godspeed set photos. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen Godspeed show up and everybody's like, Godspeed, he's going to do the thing and it's going to be this major plot line. And it's like, nope, just the costume. Like, it hasn't actually ever been, so. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, it could be some kind of like mini arc, right? Like, we have more Godspeed stuff, and it's like, what's going on? Oh, we figure out something, maybe, I don't know. So there are inklings of different plots which are coming in the wire, it seems. But like, for right now, it just seems like they're just kind of freaking out the week for a while,
Yeah, and again, the feeling of waste that can kind of come. I am not anti freak of the week. I am actually kind of pro freak of the week, and I think that the Flash, especially in season 1, really did something interesting there, where it wasn't just like we made up some stuff for the show. It was some big name comic book villains. It was a weird trade off because, in many respects, it was almost kind of a pendulum swing or a knee jerk from what Smallville was, which was here's a bunch of freak of the weeks of characters you've never seen before. This is like the lightning guy that we made up, and this one is the bug guy that we made up. Like all of these. Different, this is the fat sucking vampire girl that we've made up. Like it was, an interesting take on a lot of different, high school archetypes, I guess. And it worked, but a lot of people were like, oh, but like, when is, can we get Metallo? Can we get Brainiac? Can we get Bizarro? Can we, and eventually they would, but if they brought those characters in, it was like, okay, well, here's a big name actor or kind of a, somebody who you also know from this other show who's going to play them. And they're not going to be just for 1 week. We're going to have them come in maybe for like, 5 or 6 episodes scattered across the season. And when they brought in Brainiac, it was a big deal when they brought in Brainiac. They got a dude that played Spike on Buffy, whose name I'm blanking on at the moment, to play him. And it was like, oh my gosh, it's Brainiac and they're getting this dude. And it's not like he was around every single episode. Sometimes he was there because he was masquerading as Clark's teacher. And sometimes, he was there because he wanted to take over the world. So, it worked out well. But a lot of people wanted more and more of that. And so by the end of the series, that's what they started doing. You got your Metallos, you got your Bizarros, you got your Brainiacs, and that kind of started coming into play. But I think, or at least the sense that I have gotten, is that when this show started, they kind of wanted to some extent be the anti-Smallville, and that they wanted to actually introduce a lot of these bigger name characters, familiar characters, from the get-go. So the Flash is not going to be fighting, you know, random tree person or bee girl. Like, the Flash is actually going to be fighting Captain Cold and Heatwave and Mirror Master and, you know, like all of these characters that you're going to be familiar with if you've read the comics. But the trade-off is you made a hit, and now you used all these characters like in tossable kind of ways. And so now it's like, Rainbow Raider 2.0, which, by the way, fantastic character. I'm not trying to throw that one under the bus. I'm just saying that, like, you know, we are kind of like now rebooting even characters that we didn't get a chance to really flesh out the first time around. You know?
But yeah, but that's the thing, though, right? It's like with Crisis, we can do that, right? We can have a rogues gallery. We can do this again. And it's a shame they haven't kind of like.
But they ain't gonna. They ain't gonna. Like, that's the thing. You're right. Yeah. The Crisis provided an opportunity. And I think that there was perhaps a concern about running the risk of losing your audience, maybe, of like, okay, well, if we change too much, then the things that people like about the show, they're going to end up losing. But I think the problem is now that you had this opportunity to go real fresh, but it ended up getting real stale real quick. Especially as it kind of relates to, you know, some of these villains. So now here we are in season 7, and throughout we haven't really had like the forces, you know, quote unquote, the forces were a very confusing set of bad guys / good guys, friends become enemies, enemies become friends type scenario. And now we're on the back half, and we know, because, you know, TV Guide has informed us as a television viewing public that the kids are coming, which is cool. We like the kids. We're here for the kids, but we don't really yet know why, other than the fact that, cool, the kids are here, we should care. Now, I'm sure there will be, and it might be Godspeed. Could be other reasons as well. But regardless, there is a sense of continuity, a sense of cohesiveness, a sense of urgency that I think is missing in this back half of the season. And I hope that when we get kind of season 8, that the takeaway is not, okay, well, these like half seasons don't work. The half seasons work. It's a great format, but you got to pour some good stories into them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the half seasons work. Even third seasons, right? Which is kind of what we had last season.
But it was half seasons. It was just a mega event in the middle of it. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of like clumped the mega event as its own story arc kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, like that you're exactly right. Like, you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end to these that feel fulfilling. And when you have like a beginning and then you have like 3 weeks of just freak of the week nothing, and then you have an end, it's just weird. I don't know, it's just weird. And I feel like the creative team here is capable enough to do this. And I don't know if it's maybe just budgetary concerns or whatever, or, you know, licensing. If Warner Brothers is like, we don't want you to use XYZ characters because of the Flash movie, which I know.
No, surely not. No.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, especially since we've seen Ezra Miller on the Flash TV show, you know, like.
Well, and have you heard the rumors that Grant is going to be on the Flash movie?
I have not.
I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that, but there have been rumors that he might make a cameo.
I mean, that would be super cool.
It'd be amazing, but I don't know. We'll have to see if that's. I feel bad even saying that, because obviously I've said stuff on the show and then people came back and like, that's not true. And I'm like, I didn't. I read it on the internet. Abraham Lincoln told me.
And Abraham Lincoln never lies. But yeah, you know, I think all that stuff is like, I think it works really well, and we've been wanting it for so long, because some of these season-long things just get so tired and played out that it's nice to have a little refresher. And so I'm totally looking for it, but like, come on.
Come on.
You gotta make it pop. You gotta make it pop.
This is true. Let me ask you this. If you could choose, knowing what we know thus far, that the kids are coming, that's obviously going to play a kind of a major part of whatever comes next, like, what would you choose to be the story? Like, what would you choose to be kind of the main story? If you had the keys to the kingdom.
I don't know. Like, that would be really hard to do because I would try to avoid like causal loops, which they did a really good job of with Nora, Nora West Allen, and that her timeline was destroyed. And so she was destroyed.
Right,
and so like, you wouldn't want to have a thing where the twins come back and like, they have to, you know, they like, I don't know, it would, they come back and help their dad defeat Eobard. But like, if they go back, you know, and they defeat him there, why did they, you know, all these kinds of things, it would just be interesting. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know where they come in. I don't know if it's just for like, you know, a visit and maybe they help out with a bad guy at some point, but it's just, yeah. I don't really know. I don't know where I'd go with them.
It's tricky. The way Nora was handled was done so well because it incorporated Eobard from the future with that kind of Hannibal Lecter thing that was going on where he was kind of corrupting their daughter. It was just such a fantastic way to kind of build tension and also have kind of this cross timeline storyline going on. I thought it was fantastic. So I do like the idea of them coming back in time, like whatever's going on. Whether they brought the problem with them by coming back or if they are chasing a problem, we know that Godspeed thus far has been presented in such a way that it's a threat from the future that is kind of sending back these drones, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So it is very possible that we are dealing with a scenario where the kids are trying to defeat Godspeed in their time and they need Barry or they need to like,
well, so is Barry dead in their time?
It's possible. Or, you know, they could also be from...
Or they chase a Godspeed back into the past.
Hmm.
Like, Barry is otherwise occupied with something, and they chase a Godspeed back into the past.
Did Barry die in Crisis in Nora's timeline?
Oh, that's a good question. I think so.
Right. I think that's right.
I believe it was Crisis, yeah. But he is dead in her timeline, yes.
Yeah, he's definitely dead in her timeline. If that's correct, which makes sense, then, you know, obviously we're past that because, you know, we got a variant that came in and took the hit.
Yeah.
So that time, you know, so we're definitively in a brand new timeline one way or the other, in a post-Crisis timeline. It'll be interesting to see. But I'd like the idea that perhaps they are fighting Godspeed in the future and they need to come back. We've seen Barry do this with Harrison Wells. Or actually, no, we've seen Barry do this with Eobard, where he and Nora went back in episode, I think, 100, and because they needed some help with the case they were working on. Oh, man, yeah. That was such a great episode. Hang on, I'm sorry. Like, that sequence, like, that scene in particular when Eobard realizes what they were doing... And he says, "You brought me your daughter," is just the evilest, creepiest thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. This show is good. You know? It's a good show when it's good.
No, it is. It is.
It really is. Like, you know, it's a rough season, y'all. It's a rough season. It is a tough season right now to be a Flash fan, but do not think that this is a bad show. This has been a fantastic show and has had some incredible moments. It has some incredible characters. It's had some missteps, but you know what? 7 seasons in, show me a show that never had any missteps. So there we go. There's a positive note to kind of end this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other thoughts or anything else before we sign off?
I don't think so.
All right, man. Well, I want to let people know that, of course, we got Flashcraft going on if you happen to enjoy some Minecraft. Yes, that's right, Minecraft. If you enjoy some Minecraft, you play on Bedrock. We are, I guess, beginning to recruit. Because in the next about a month or so, we're going to be making some decisions about Earth 3, and so if you would like to join the Flashcraft server, play with Bell, myself, and many of our friends, you can do so. Hit us up. You can just DM us on Twitter. Would be a good way to do it. And we'd love to have you be part of the Flashcraft server. By the way, I should make mention we do kind of have this thing. You know, it you do need to be not a minor in order to play. It's not that it's not like an adult server or anything of that nature. It's not not for kids, but at the same time, yeah, we're that is the one stipulation.
Legal purposes and all
yeah,
that kind of
exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So there is that. Sorry, kids, but that's what it is. If you want to actually check out the fun from Flashcraft, you can head over to Flash TV Talk's YouTube page. We got some great updates there. We also want to encourage you to, let us know what your thoughts are on the show. Where do you want to see things going? What are your hopes, your dreams? Where would you like to see season 8 go? And who knows? How do you think that they could kind of make an about face and really, you know, kind of pull out an amazing back half of season 7? Or are we totally wrong? And has this been the greatest season of The Flash? And if it has, please write in and make the case. I will not argue against you. I actually would love to be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let us know those thoughts as well. You can also, follow us on the Twitters at Flash TV Talk.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
You can also check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/flashtvtalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
All right, that is going to do it for us for this week. By the way, shout out to the folks at tvtalk.fm. And yeah, that is going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.